Now, earlier this week, the newly appointed Treasury Minister unveiled the budget for the 2026-27 financial year. It sees personal tax allowance increased by £2,250 for individuals and £4,500 for jointly assessed couples. There's also more than £400 million for healthcare and £83 million for other public services. Chris Thomas says it represents stability, security and confidence while setting out a pathway towards reducing the island's reliance on general reserves. But it's not without its critics, with some describing it as an election budget designed to essentially buy votes ahead of the election in September. Well, Minister Thomas joins us in the studio this morning. Minister, first of all, has this budget taken into account the island's best interests in the long term?
Yes, it was a privilege to stand in one of the most important places, the island, Timwell Parliament, to make a budget as a public representative to provide public services for the public who we represent with their money. And it's in the best interests. There are no losers as a result of the income tax measures that you've just described. There are some who don't gain, tax cappers, those who are below the raised personal tax, who were below the old personal tax allowance. People have all their personal tax allowance taken away, but everybody gains in the sense that that we expect economic activity to increase, and therefore jobs are securer. The number of hours you work is more secure. As far as I can tell, people who are likely to make investments institutionally are happy with the direction of this budget. So therefore, it's good news for the island and for our future.
Because I think we heard that this is going to essentially cost, the personal allowance increase would cost £24 million in terms of income tax receipts. So is there evidence then that that will be made up?
Well, that's not even the word to use, really. Why would we say it's a cost? What we're doing is we're not taking people out of monies out of people's back pockets. So it's not a cost in that sense. It's just a foregone income tax that we would have taken. And it's not 25 million in the sense that I think the best estimate was 23 million, firstly. Secondly, a third of what is in the budget was already included. So the additional cost is 14, 15 million, and of that, a lot goes just in natural growth in income tax revenues and other receipts. So essentially the net cost of the income tax, personal tax allowance rise is around £10 million, and that's been created by controlling the biggest expenditure item, which is the healthcare spend, because we've transferred roughly a similar amount from what had been a revenue contingency budget to a capital drawdown contingency reserve. So we'll be taking any overspend next year from the capital reserves directly until we rebalance our income and expenditure.
There will be some cynics who look at September and that there's an election coming up, there isn't a tax rise here, we're, you know, taking less tax from people. Is this an election budget?
Well, no, this budget is good. Would have been good at any time. It would have been better to have been done previously. And I think that's why the Chief Minister showed leadership and made the changes that he did and did it eventually. I've been describing him as a prisoner in his own Council of Ministers for some time now, and the prisoner is free. This is the budget that needed to be done, and he's right. The second point is, yesterday, as many people were saying to me that votes against the budget were pre-election, votes against government, as well as saying to me this is a pre-election giveaway budget. Look, this budget its merits need to be considered in their own terms, and this is a good budget for the island now and into the future, because it will encourage confidence, which will lead to investment, job security, more hours, just general economic activity. If we don't have a care sector, older people suffer. If we don't have a hospitality sector, we all suffer. If we don't have retail outlets on the island, we all suffer. Look, let's just celebrate what we've done, get some confidence back. The blue sky and the sunshine, we're out on budget day. We still know it's cold in the Isle of Man this year. We still know there are strong winds blowing, but at least we had some blue sky and sunshine, and we've got things to look forward to now. And please invest. And if only this budget had happened the previous year.
And the budget has been broadly welcomed by some of the business groups on the island, the Chamber of Commerce, the Local Economy Forum. Does that show the power of good lobbying from groups like that, that they are happy to see these kind of things being brought in?
No, I think it just shows the power of analysis and common sense, basically. I wasn't lobbied particularly. I'm not that sort of politician. I've been asked to step down from roles because quietly in the background, to work in all sorts of ways, you know, coining phrases like a prisoner in his own council of ministers. Basically, this is the right thing to do. It's been done. Let's move on.
You touched on the spending on healthcare within the budget. Of course, an increase there, just over £400 million set aside for Manx Care. We heard from the Chief Minister during his speech some concerns essentially going forward. He said there might need to be a look at the future funding of healthcare. What are your thoughts on that?
There will have to be. So I took some blame yesterday for perhaps developing a degree of misunderstanding amongst my colleagues in their respective reserves, and we'll probably come back to that with your next question. But also, the other issue I really amplified for colleagues in the private briefings was that if the growth rate of healthcare spending continues at the rate it's been since Manx Care was created, we're not looking at £475 million a year healthcare spending by the end of this five-year financial plan. We're looking more like £650 million healthcare spending. So we've got to constrain healthcare spending. All of the income, the Isle of Man way has been income greater than expenditure. In recent years, it's been expenditure greater than income, and interest from the reserves has been making that up. And it's healthcare that's been sucking in to, as expenditure, all of the extra money that we've been raising from taxes by increasing the rates and also by not increasing the personal tax allowances. And that has to stop. We need a good national health service, and it's fallen down against some of the standards that we expect from it and have enjoyed historically. We've got to deal with that, and we've also got to rein in the expenditure.
Now, coming back to the personal allowance, we heard from Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper earlier this morning. He was talking about concerns over that increase to the tax allowance. He described it as overhyped and said that lower earners are no better off for this budget. What are your thoughts on that?
That's true. So before the personal allowance, well, in one sense it's true. So before the personal allowance increase, there were 17,600 people approximately who didn't have a tax liability. There are now 21,200 people who don't have a tax liability because we've taken 3,600 people approximately out of the tax net. The Chief Minister, when he was Treasury Minister, took 3,000 people out of the tax rap with a personal tax allowance rise of £2,000, which Mr. Hooper applauded in 2017, 2018. It's the same measure. There are all sorts of reasons why people don't pay tax already, and 3,600 people more take tax. They're still better off in a way, though, from the budget, because they get the benefit from the national insurance changes, most of them, firstly. And secondly, look, if there's good economic activity and we're feeling better about ourselves and we're confident, that affects everybody.
You said you thought I'd probably ask you about the reserves. Mr. Hooper did also make comment about the reserves. He said that he described the reserves as being borrowed, and that if you start dipping into the National Insurance Fund, it's a slippery slope. Do you agree with that?
One thing I hate to say it, because as I said in my budget speech, if anybody goes low, I go high. And apologies to Laurie, but there were just mistakes in his analysis. We don't have £1.6 billion in our national insurance funds, or £1.4 billion, or whatever it was he said. We actually, in the budget, we have, in the pink book, we have £1 billion, and we actually have nearly £200 million more than that at the moment because of the market effect. Treasury accounts for things in a prudent way, in a fiscally responsible way. So he just pretended there was a reserve fund and a national insurance fund. There are lots of other funds as well. There's cash reserves. There's money for the Manx currency. There's money put set aside to repay bonds. So we've got £115 million or something in the bond reserve fund to repay the Manx Utilities Authority bonds coming up in 2030-34. So His numbers around the reserves were just wrong. And the basic task I set myself when I first presented the budget to Timwood members was to make them understand that you couldn't carry on drawing down reserves. And I obviously played that too well. The figure we used was without interest, and as Dr. Allenson properly explained, and look at the dignity of that man in the situation he's been in. He's been very dignified in his, very very analytical in his response, voted for the budget, because to a large part it's his budget, and he explained it very accurately. Essentially, we've been spending the interest on the reserves, except in crisis moments like COVID, like to build the hospital, and that, so drawing down the reserves either means spending the interest, which means it doesn't keep, the reserves don't keep their real value, taking into account inflation, or we actually take money from the reserves, and we shouldn't be doing the latter. And it's unfortunate that we're having to spend the reserves interest at the moment.
Now, Minister, we should touch on something that has rumbled on and on and on for years, the new Castle Rushen High School. And we heard from MHKs in the south of the island this week who really were concerned about the lack of any mention of the new school in your budget speech. Can you still say that spades will be in the ground by this summer on that project?
No, we can't say that. And there was mention of Castle Town School in my speech. I mentioned Castle Town School, Douglas School, Peel School, and I think I even said other schools are around the island. Look, capital projects in the past haven't always gone well. It's taken so long between Tynwald approval and costs, gathering costs and starting, that there's been cost inflation before we even started. There's also been an optimisation bias. So Tynwald expressed huge concern back in 2021 when they discovered the Isle of Man ferry terminal in Liverpool was expected at that point to cost 70 million when they thought it was only going to cost 38 million or whatever it was. You've got to do things right. Where the full credit to the current Education Minister. She's worked with Treasury through, and officers have worked together closely, and we're now in a situation where we've got a better understanding of the costs. The construction sector is also making representations to us. Amy and I just talked about lobbying, about how we secured the costs, how we're managing the risks, the process that we're using. So we're making great progress.
But you're not confident about spades being in the ground in the summer, because actually, did the Education Department actually not have confidence there would be spades in the ground this summer?
The Chief Minister said that by the end of this administration, we'd have a full report on exactly where we are in respect of Castle Rushen High School. And when they do that, they'll also be able to say where they are in terms of the appeal Queen Elizabeth II STEM block, because that's a longer standing project.
So any timeline then on spades in the ground at Castle Rushen first and foremost?
Well, the most important thing is the reserves are scarce. We need to have a national infrastructure strategy. We've got to spend money on capital schemes much greater than just Castle Rushen High School. So therefore, we've got £50 million a year for the next 5 years.
So Castle Rushen High School, not a priority?
That could be enough for Castle Rushen High School.
Is it a priority for your department?
There are 30 projects. It's not about whether it's my department. My department just runs a properly designed process.
But what I'm asking is the Castle Rushen High School, a new school, a priority still?
It is. It's one of the 30 schemes in the Project Development Fund, three of which are in operation, 25 or so of which are in process of development, and Castle Rushen High School's top of that list.
All right, then. This has been a fairly uncontentious budget. If there had been controversial elements within it, according to yourself, because I think it had all been pretty much written by the time you took over as Treasury Minister, if there were controversial elements in there, being an election year, would you have taken those out?
No, not in the 36 hours. That would have been irresponsible. So in the same way that we have a good investment management process to maximise the returns on our reserves, and in the same way that we have a good project development process to minimise the risks to our capital reserves, we also have a good budget process which will be beginning pretty much soon and pretty much now for the next budget. Why would you interfere with a carefully argued, carefully analysed, carefully prepared budget framework if you've got 36 hours to turn it around before you take it to Treasury Board and Council of Ministers?
Manx Radio Breakfast is available to listen again on demand. Simply visit manxradio.com.
8:27, good morning to you. 48 hours on from this year's budget being delivered, Treasury Minister Chris Thomas is with us in the studio. Minister, we have a question from one of our listeners. This has come in from Anne, who says, good morning, can the Minister confirm that over 75s won't be dragged in to pay for the BBC licence fee? Anne says the ever-increasing licence fee is unaffordable, particularly as we don't watch or listen to the BBC.
Yes.
Okay, so they're not going to get dragged back in. That's so you can absolutely confirm.
I'm not aware
that.
Of any policy changes in terms of the over 75s BBC TV licences.
All right, thank you for your clarity on that. We'd just like to ask you, just over 4 weeks into the role, I mean, how is it all going for you, and how is your relationship with the Chief Minister? Because I think it's fair to say you have been fairly critical of him throughout this administration. Politically, you've not always been on the same page, and of course, you were sacked as DOI Minister by Alfred Cannon in July 2023. So, just over 4 weeks in as Treasury Minister, how's the role going and how is your relationship with the Chief Minister?
No, well, in fact, it depends how it's interpreted by the person involved or the media. But when you leave Mr. Cannon's council ministers, you always stand down, however it's ended. That's what the press release always says. But I've always had a good relationship with Mr. Cannon. I proposed him as chief minister in 2016. We've been going out for lunch, however bad and fraught the relationships seemed. And I didn't join his government because I could see it was going to end in tears, because you can't have Tony Blair at one end of the council minister's table and Boris Johnson or somebody like Boris Johnson at the other end and think it's all going to go swimmingly. And they weren't addressing the challenges in the way that I addressed. The 2025 refresh of the island plan made a huge difference to me. The refresh of the economic strategy made a huge difference for me. And I'm very, very, very delighted to be working again with the Chief Minister very closely, as we did 2017 to 2020. And I just want to remind people, in that time, we increased the tax cap hugely from 125,000 to 200,000. Which is a progressive increase. We also got rid of the structural deficit just before COVID in 2020. Some great achievements in that period, at least some significant ones. And we can do a lot together with the rest of the council ministers and our House of Keys colleagues in the next few months.
Now, I know work on the budget, it's a year-round thing, so I'm sure over the coming months you'll be looking ahead to next year's budget. Obviously, there's a lot of change between now and then. There's an election. There'll be a new administration by then. Would you take this role again?
Yes.
That's
short answer.
So you've obviously enjoyed your time so far as Treasury Minister.
Well, I mean, the budget hasn't been the only thing that I've been working on, because Treasury is always very, very busy. I've been getting lots of questions, and that's what the public sees. But behind the scenes, the immigration job is huge, and parts of it are over the news these days. We're doing substantial things in terms of new taxes. So we've got Pillar 2 arrangements, and I made significant announcements about that in the budget, which haven't really been picked up. I talked about grant schemes. I talked about alternative energy. I talked about alternative capital raising to enable projects like the Castle Rushen High School and many others. I also talked about looking at the development costs and development viability overall in brownfield sites, and we've launched a review on the procurement portal so that we know more about what the Manx Development Corporation has achieved or hasn't achieved, and how the island infrastructure scheme has worked or hasn't worked. And so we're doing that with a fresh pair of eyes outside, so that there's no bias involved, and hope to have, I've promised in the budget speech to have a report back to Tim Ward before the end of the time. The national conversation continues on things like care home, on care homes, on social security, on national insurance more generally. There's so much to do.
Well, Chris Thomas, Treasury Minister, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.